Amen, amen. I hope you got your Bible. Ephesians 3:17 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. It's just about Christmas. Just a few more weeks, it'll be Christmas. By the way, we'll have the Christmas service. I think Christmas is on what, Thursday or something, Wednesday, Friday? We'll have the Christmas service the Sunday before, and we'll have Wednesday night service. We'll have a little something on that Wednesday night before. But it's almost Christmas, almost. And once you become a child of God, Christmas has a whole different meaning than it did before you were saved.
Yes.
It's not about you anymore, it's about Him.
Yes. Amen.
And that's a whole lot different than this poor world, you know. Yes. And everybody thinks about John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That's everybody. God so loved the world that He gave. That's why we give. His only begotten Son. If you got a Bible that says only Son or one and only Son, throw that thing away. Get you a Bible that says only begotten Son. Begotten means He was born. Born of a woman. And so he so loved the world He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believes in Him should not perish. That means die and go to hell. But have everlasting life. We're going to live as long as God lives. That's what Christmas is supposed to be about. When I look at the world, I see sin and sorrow. That's what I see. When I look at the world, I see sin and sorrow. But you know, when God looks at the world, God looks at sinners in the need of a Savior.
Amen.
He doesn't look at it like we do. I see heartbreak and terrible things going on. I see sin and sorrow, and it just breaks my heart. But when God looks down here, He says, no, I see sinners. A whole world full of sinners. He says, that's why I sent my Son.
That
if they'll just turn to Him, believe on Him, they can be saved. They can be born again. Amen. Be born again out of the sin and the sorrow. In Ephesians 3, again, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge.
Amen.
This ain't something they can teach you in school. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Did you know that nobody can really understand John 3:16 until they're born again? And once you're born again, according to Ephesians 3 right here, it says now we can comprehend the love of Christ. We can comprehend it. We can understand it. But until you're saved, you're not going to understand the love of God through Christ Jesus.
Right.
Now, you say, well, I got faith and I got saved. No, you got saved and then you got faith.
Yes.
God gave you the faith to understand that. Once you turned to Him, repented of your sins and called on Him to save you, He gave you the ability through His Spirit to comprehend these spiritual things. Because before you were dead in trespasses and sin, and dead people can't comprehend anything spiritually. And so therefore, when you were born again, He gave you a new heart, new mind, new spirit, and now you can comprehend or understand the love of God.
Yes.
In 1 John 2:2, it says He's the propitiation for our sins. You know what that means? The sin payment.
Yep.
He made the payment for our sins. He's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. His love goes from pole to pole.
Yeah.
Amen. He loved the whole world. His love goes from east to west. Amen.
Yeah.
And look, until you're born again, you cannot comprehend that.
That's right.
You can't comprehend the length of God's love.
Mm-hmm.
You say, we think worldly because we're in the flesh, and worldly people say, well, as long as you love me, I'll love you back. And when you quit loving me, I'll quit loving you. But that's not what God says. In Psalms 86:15, it says, but thou, Lord, art God, full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy. God's love is universal. And did you know you don't have to love Him? He already loves you. Whether you love Him back or not, He still loves you. And did you know He loves everybody in the world? I'd like to say I love everybody in the world. I really try. I want to. It's my desire to love people. And one-on-one, you can pretty well do that. But you get them in a crowd, it's hard to do. But the point is, God loves everybody. I mean, it goes all the way from the rich to the poor, the educated, the uneducated, the filthy sinner and the vile sinner, down to that one that hardly sins at all. God loves them all, every one of them.
Amen,
now, you can't comprehend that until you're born again. And you know how once you're born again, the Spirit of God reveals that to you, and then you'll get overcome. You'll think, even me? God loves even me? God loves me, and half time I don't even think about God. God loves me, and I forget His commandments. God loves me, and I fail Him. God loves me. If anybody could let Him down, I've let Him down. God loves even me. But until you're born again, you're not going to understand that. I've talked to people before and tried to witness to them. They say, you don't know how bad I am. I say, you don't know how good He is. I said, you can't out-sin the love of God. You can't out-sin it. You can't outdo His love. See? Because His love is not dependent on you.
Right?
He is love. It's Him. It's not you. You can't do anything to make God love you, and you can't do anything to make God love you more than He already loves you, because He loves you. He so loved you. That's immeasurable. You can't measure how much God loves you. All we do is go by our fleshly feeling, and we feel like God loves us today, then we're happy, and then tomorrow when we don't feel so good, we think God don't love us. But God loves us all the time. Amen, amen. Boy, some of y'all would be jumping pews on that one. The length of His love never runs out. He didn't love you a day and then let you go, or a week and let you go, or 10 years and let you go. He said, I'll love you to the end. The length of His love. Look, people come and people go in our lives. And I know you, most of you are almost old as I am. Some of you's working on it. Some of you's past me. And we've all seen people come and go, and they say, Pete, I love you, brother, I love you. But then 10 years from now, you couldn't find them with a microscope. And they'll say, Ron, I love you. I love you, Ron, as long as they're happy with you. But when they get unhappy with you, they disappear. Amen?
Amen.
And some of them say, I'll be here when everybody else is gone. Well, that's not really real, because you really don't know if they will, and they don't know if they will, because they don't have the love of God that's never ending. There might be something that makes their love end for you. Y'all still with me?
Yes.
Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 15. Says this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's the Apostle Paul. He wrote most of the New Testament by the Spirit of God. He was the writer. And did you know he said, I am chief. He said, God, Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I'm the wickedest one in the world. I'm the chief. You ever felt like chief of sinners?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you ought to. You ought to. And until you do, you probably won't get saved. You got to see how bad you are before you'll look up. Amen. That's what Holy Ghost is conviction. That's what it's all about. You know what I pray for people is not saved? I'll say, Lord, don't let them eat. Don't let them sleep. Don't let them work. Don't let them play. Don't let them do anything without thinking about their lost condition and getting saved.
Amen.
That's what you ought to pray for your children. That's what you ought to pray for your grandchildren. That's what you ought to pray for your husband, your wife, your brother, your sister, your mama, your daddy, your co-workers, your schoolmates, whoever it is. We need to see that people need to see that they are sinners. Oh, ain't that bad. Well, it only takes one sin to be classified as a sinner. And by the way, you ain't even made it past the first commandment. Don't brag on the rest of them until you make it past the first one. You don't love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your strength. You don't do that. Don't tell me you do. Nobody in this room does like we ought to. We forget God. Yeah. We think about ourselves. We think about other people. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
And look, so don't tell me you're not a sinner. Don't tell me you're not all that bad. That's the worst one. The others come because you forgot to think on God. Amen. If you can't get past the first one, you're classified as a sinner. Amen. And so the Bible says that Paul himself said he was the chief of sinners. Now we're talking about a religious man, a Jew of the Jews, a teacher of other Jews, a zealot, somebody that would die for the Jewish cause. And he realized one day that he was the chief of sinners when he fell down on his face before Jesus on that road to Damascus. And let me tell you something. When Paul got saved, he got saved. And until you admit you're a sinner, you're not going to recognize what the love of God's all about. Romans 5:20 says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin did abound, grace did that much more abound. You know what you can understand once you get saved? You can understand the height of God's love. God's love is immeasurable. You can't get over it. And listen to this. He said when the law entered, when law came into your life, when the law of God came into your life, what did he say? He said that offense might abound. He said that law taught me that I have offended God. I'm at enmity with God. Me and God are enemies.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's what the law teaches us, that because of our sin, that God and us are not on speaking grounds.
Yeah, right.
And he said, now the law taught me that. But then he said also, but where sin abounded, grace did that much more abound. Do you know what grace means? Undeserved love.
Yeah.
Undeserved love. We're talking about the kind of love that asks nothing in return. You ever had anybody just love you and ask for nothing in return? Very few. Very few. Amen. They always say, well, I'll love you as long as you make me happy. Or I'll love you as long as you satisfy me. Or I'll love you as long as you don't make me mad. Or I'll love you as long as you go to work and let me stay home. Oh, I'm sorry. That's another sermon. Man's love is always conditional. Human love is always conditional. I will if you.
Yeah.
If you, I will. But God's love says, no, I just love you. You don't have to do anything. I love you if you're good. I love you if you're bad. I love you when you're happy. I love you when you're sad. I love you when you obey me. I love you when you disobey me. I just love you. Unconditional love. Now that doesn't mean that God's going to let everybody go to heaven, because God can't do that. But he loves them enough that he sent his son to die in their place to pay for their sin so that they could go to heaven if they choose to do that. He gave you a free will.
Amen.
What did the angels say? Good tidings of great joy which shall be to all people. Did you know that the angels even said it, that God wants people to be happy and joyous?
Yep.
And you can't be that without knowing the love of God.
Amen.
Happiness and joy is always just one little space away from where you are, and you're trying to get it, and you'll never reach it without the love of God.
Amen.
Because without the love of God, nobody can ever satisfy you. Nothing you can get in this world would ever satisfy you.
That's right.
Without the love of God. Now, what changes is when you accept Christ and now you begin to understand these things, what changes is that those things are not what makes you happy. God is what makes you happy.
Amen.
And he rewards you by giving you these things. But whether you get these things or not, you're still going to know joy and happiness because God loves you and you've experienced the love of God. And that's what fulfills you, is the love of God in Christ Jesus.
Yes, sir.
If you go looking for great joy and good tidings in any person on planet Earth, it may last a little while, but it's going to fail.
Amen.
And you're going to be disappointed.
Right.
Unless you love them like God loves you.
Amen.
Amen. That kind of love doesn't... Look, you shouldn't have to keep me happy to make me love you. I should love you whether you keep me happy or not.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
And same way with husbands and wives. We shouldn't have to keep each other happy. Hey, as long as God loves us, we'll be able to love somebody else. Amen?
Amen. Yeah.
And by the way, if you're waiting for the sinner to quit sinning before you love him, you ain't nothing like God. Well, I'm a Christian. Well, I hate that crowd over there. You're nothing like God. What you're saying is when they change to be like me, then I'll love them. God doesn't say that. God says you'll never be like me, but I love you so much, I'm going to do this. I'm going to send my son to die in your place anyway. Are y'all still with me?
Yes.
I want to think about this. In 1 John 4:9, it says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him." Did you know, when we look at that, and we think about Christmas, and I know it wasn't on December the 25th, I know all that's just tradition and stuff, but at least thank God we can celebrate a day in America. But when you look at that manger, and you look at that little baby in that manger, what you see is that God's love was manifested toward us, shown toward us. That little baby in the manger was the Son of God. He was God in the flesh. He was the God-man. Unlike any other man to ever live. He was never going to sin. He was going to be tempted and tried and yet without sin. But he was like us. He was in flesh yet without sin. And so God showed himself and he showed his love by sending his son to live a life I cannot live. He lived it in my place. And then he let him die a death that belonged to me, for the wages of sin is death. And I can't die and pay for my sins. If I die, I'm going to hell without forgiveness and love of God. And God sent his son that day not to see a suffering servant, but to see a savior. That we might live through him, he said. At Calvary, Romans 5:8-9 says, "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him."
Yes.
Now on Christmas, that's the way we need to find it. He was a baby born in a manger, but at Calvary he manifested his love through a death instead of a birth. The birth manifested his love. He came unto all men and whosoever will may be saved. But now at Calvary, that represents the sin payment that we should pay. And he done it in our place. And that shows the love of God.
Yes.
1 John 3:1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not."
Yes.
See, in salvation, God shows his love by giving us sonship.
Amen.
He adopted us into his family.
Yes.
He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to do that. He could have said, "Go on to hell, white trash. Go on to hell, you deserve it." But he didn't. Instead, he gave me a sonship. He adopted me into his family. Now I'm a child of God. And my name down here is Clarence. Go ahead and laugh at it. When you go to Walmart, think about me at those Clarence sales. My name's Clarence. I've been made fun of all my life. My name's Clarence. When I was in fourth grade, I got my first pair of glasses. Man, that sure changed my world. I could see and read. And then they came out with this movie. Walt Disney came out with a movie, Clarence Cross-Eyed Lion. And I got in a fight on the playground every day. It was either Four Eyes or Clarence the Cross-Eyed Lion every day on the playground. And I never won in one of those fights. But thank God, God's got me a new name written down in heaven. The angels don't even know my name. It's written down inside of a little white stone. And God's going to open it up and show me my new name when I get to heaven. He's going to say, "Son, I adopted you. Your name ain't Clarence Ronald Ronnie anymore. Here's your new name, son. Come down to the joys of the Lord." Amen. Hallelujah. That's enough to make a Baptist shout. Amen. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. You go ahead and laugh at me now, but I'm a son of God. I'm a child of the King. King. I couldn't go to hell if I wanted to. I'm saved and secure and sure, and God's put my name in that book, and now it's His job to get me to heaven. Amen? Amen, amen. I quit worrying about that a long time ago when I realized I'm a son of God.
Yes.
Now let me tell you something. God's a better father than I am. Hebrews says that. Hebrews said your earthly father chastens you. Don't you think your heavenly father do so much more so? And if he doesn't, you're not a son of his.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. So thank God he adopted me.
Amen.
And now I'm one of his. And did you know what? I got three daughters. And I love my daughters. My daughters have not always made me happy. Most of the time they have. Not always. I haven't always agreed with what they did. But most of the time, overall, they pretty well made me happy. But sometimes I disagree with them. I do. But I'm going to love them anyway. If they sin, I love them. If they don't sin, I love them. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
If somebody came to me today and said, one of your daughters is in jail and she robbed this bank up here, I'd be up at jailhouse to see her. I'd be weeping and crying, but I'd say, I'm here for you. I love you. You can't change that. I love you. You say, well, what if they killed somebody? I'd still love them.
Right.
And I'd be sitting behind them at the trial praying the whole time. That's my daughter. I love her. You think God's not a better father than I am? Sure he is. You said, you don't know what I've done, but he knew what you was going to do before the foundation world was ever laid. He saved you anyway. That's love right there. Amen, amen, amen. Now, listen, 1 John 4:16 says, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. If you're full of hate and envy and all these things in the world, you listen to me. I'd check up. If you don't have love in your heart for your fellow man, I don't care how low down they are, how sorry they are, or how sinful they are, or how bad you disagree with them. If you don't have love in your heart for people, God's not in you.
Come on, brother.
Yeah. That's a choice we made. To love God. And then God moved us. Moved into us. And it says, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. I'll tell you where you can find out who where the real God is and where he ain't. Go to a Baptist business meeting one time. When they're about to spend a lot of money, you just find out who loves who. Amen. I've been in some Baptist business meetings, I'm telling you. But ours ain't like that. We don't have them problems here. Amen. Say amen right there.
Amen.
Billy?
Amen.
All right. I want to make sure it went all the way to the back. God is love. But on the other hand, we ought not just love the brethren. The Bible says you know that you pass from death unto life because you love the brethren. You love other believers. But you also ought to love thy neighbor as thyself too. And if he's hungry, you feed him. And if he's naked, you clothe him. And if he's lost, you try to win him to Christ. And let me tell you this. He'll see God in you if God's in you. When I was lost and going to hell, and I got saved at 23, and I lived a lot of life up to 23. And when I didn't know anything about God, hadn't been to church 3 or 4 times in my life. And I'll tell you something, I could spot a Christian.
Easy.
I spotted a lot of hypocrites too.
Easy.
I could spot a lost people know if you, lost people feel the love of Christ in you if you're saved and you're living for God. They'll see it.
Amen.
And the Bible says we'll live that way so that they might ask us the hope that is in us. And they could be saved. There's not a shortage of sinners. There's a shortage of saints that look like saints and act like saints. Don't quit on me now. It's just 12:02. I ain't got much longer to go. Okay. Listen. If you love God, you will love your fellow man. Let me tell you something. I don't want anybody to go to hell. I don't. I believe that so much I'd die for it.
Amen.
I don't want anybody to suffer and hurt.
Amen.
I don't. I've suffered and hurt before. I don't want anybody to suffer and hurt. I don't want anybody to be brokenhearted. Y'all still with me?
Yes.
And we as Christians, look, the love of God's been shed abroad in our heart. And we talk about John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. Well, let me tell you what happens after that. God so loved the world that he sent us.
Yes.
To go in all the world and preach the gospel. Romans 5:5 says, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. You know, we live in a hopeless world.
Right.
And of all the people in the world, people ought to see some hope in us.
Amen.
And on us.
Help me, Lord.
Now I know we're in political times and it makes me mad, it makes you mad, and we're divided, I'm sure some of us, but I'll tell you this, we'll not hate anybody. And we'll love people. And whoever turns out to be president, I love the man, pray for him every day like the Bible tells me to. If he comes to my house, I'll feed him and honor him. Amen. Whoever turns out to be your senator or congressman, it doesn't matter. Hey, what you're supposed to do is love. Unconditional love does not require somebody to do something that makes you happy for you to love them. And you ought to be able to disagree with people and still love them. And if you can't do that, you've never had teenagers. Say amen right there. If you can't disagree with people and still love them, you ain't never raised a teenager. Because everything's an argument with a teenager. Just like you were. And they loved you anyway. Amen. That's a double amen. First John 3:17 says, but whoso hath this world's good and sees his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? If you can look at people that have a need, especially brethren, and you don't try to meet that need, there's something wrong with you.
Yes.
I'll say one thing about our church body. We've got people that give and they love to give. And if you ever have a need in this church and you can't fulfill it and we don't know it, it's your fault, because if we knew it, we'd help you fulfill
Amen.
It.
Yes.
Because see, that's the love of God.
Amen.
See, the love of God is more than money. It's more than stuff.
Yes.
Money's nothing. Money's a tool to get what you need. That's all it is. Money's
Amen.
Nothing.
Amen.
And look, we as Christians ought to fellowship in God's love. Now I know I pick at people, and the people I pick at know I'm just picking. A couple of them told me, don't pick at me no more. Pick your nose if you want to pick something. It wasn't Danny, because he likes to dish it out as much as he gets taken. But we'll have fellowship one with another because we love each other.
Yes.
We had Thanksgiving. It might have been against the law, I don't know, but we had Thanksgiving. I'm a preacher, I'm supposed to keep the law, but sometimes, you know, I just plead ignorance. I'm just ignorant. Highway patrolman pulled you over and he says, you know, I stopped before. I said, huh? No. We might have broke the law. I don't know. But we had a house full of people. And I love it.
Yes.
I loved it. Did you know we don't always agree on stuff? And I sure don't agree with one that took all that leftover turkey that I was looking forward to making sandwiches out of. I don't know which one that was. You know what they left? Giblet gravy. How you make a sandwich out of giblet gravy? Somebody needs to get right with God. They don't love me like I love them, but they'd love me some. It's the same way at church. It's the same way at church. You're not always going to agree with me, and you don't have to, but you have to agree with the Bible. And I don't always have to agree with you. But I'm going to love you whether I agree with you or not. Wow. You know, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And I don't know any other way you'll ever know that God loves you unless you listen. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I don't know how you're ever going to know except by the Word of God. But if you'll just listen to the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, and there's that word again, will manifest Himself to you. And He will enlighten you. He'll take those scales off your eyes so you can see spiritual things. And He'll give you a new mind so you can think more like Christ and less like you. And He'll give you a new heart so you can love like Christ and less like you.
Thank you, Lord.
And if we'll do that, we're going to be all right.
Amen.
And we'll have the best Christmas we ever had. Now, if you're not saved today, look at me and I'm through.